Quote, if I accept the offer, then we'll be bound to take on Hellstrom's mission to breach the anthill. Mildred, you know anything about the continuity of government program? How much of Hellstrom's story about the installation can be matched up with actual history?
Some of it? All of it? None of it. Keep in mind that paranoia was rampant during the last decade of the 20th century. There was a historically high level of distrust in the government. There were rumors of secret deals and an exchange of technology with the Russians, and even, believe it or not, with extraterrestrials.
Extraterrestrials?
Yeah. One school of thought was that the Star Wars defense program was designed to protect Earth from an invasion from space, not to intercept nuclear missiles. Anyway, Ryan, to answer your question, all I can say is I don't know. Since the technology existed to time trawl and teleport living matter across the world a century ago, I don't find the concept of bionically altered pre-darkers living in a cryonically controlled stronghold all that incredible.
If it is true, we'll have access to the mother of all stockpiles. We could write our own tickets anywhere in Deathlands.
And Lars Hellstrom can and will punch those tickets. We can't trust him to keep his word.
It is a rigged game he wants us to play. And there is only one way to win at a rigged game. That is to quit.
Or rig the game in our favor. Any suggestions?
Cheel Hellstrom.
That'll be our final hand to play. No, I think our best tactic is to keep a low profile for the next 3 days. Maybe during that time we can find an ace on the line.
And if we can't, Ryan, then what?
Then I'll accept the appointment to Warlord, and we'll go from there.
I hope this teaches us to be more careful about what we promise dying men in the future. A good deed never goes unpunished.
Ryan and his people saw and heard nothing from Hellstrom throughout the remainder of the afternoon or the following day. They walked around, sampling the sights, sounds, and tastes of Hellskell, and tried to ward off the fingers of dread and apprehension that clutched at them. That evening, a ceremony to induct novitiates into the sex squad was staged in the barroom of the saloon. Unlike the funeral of Zadfrak, this ritual was very quick, almost casual. Ryan, Mildred, and Christy watched it through the front door. Dog, Phil, and three other men kneeled before Hellstrom, while their heads were shorn of hair by the use of clippers and razors. The men performing the tonsorial chores weren't very careful, and the scalps of all the inductees bore little bleeding cuts and slashes by the time the barbers were done. Once their heads were shaven, Fleur took an ice pick that had been heating in a brazier filled with red-hot coals and inscribed X's on all five men's foreheads. The operation took only a few seconds per man, since she was heedless of their blood and pain.
With the X, you are now warriors and servants of Hellskell!
As blood streaked down their faces, they bowed to Hellstrom. He dismissed them with a bored wave of the hand.
A new generation of cannon fodder.
Catching sight of the companions, Hellstrom gestured for them to enter. Dog gave Ryan a sidewise glare as he walked out. Fleur studiously avoided looking in his direction.
At 7:30 tomorrow evening, I will have your decision. A war council has been called in the restaurant, and your attendance is mandatory.
What if I make up my mind before then?
Then you'll wait until the council convenes, Cawdor. I don't grant private audiences on war council days. You may go now.
Though he earnestly tried to conceive of a plan through that night and most of the next day, Ryan couldn't come up with a suitable strategy to delay making the decision. The jaws of the Hellscale trap had snapped shut neatly and painlessly, but very securely. There was no choice but to go through with the pretense of accepting the position of warlord. Gloomily, none of his friends could offer an alternative either, except to engage in a firefight they couldn't hope to win. At 7 o'clock, a little after twilight, Ryan was alone, walking toward the eatery, when Fleur sauntered around the corner of the building. She had her thumbs hooked into the belt loops of her jeans, and when she caught sight of him, a hesitant, almost shy smile played over the finely chiseled planes of her face.
Evening, Cawdor.
Evening.
Casually, Ryan placed his right hand on his hip, just above the butt of the Sig Sauer. If Fleur caught the movement, she gave no sign.
I regret the incident the other day. I was out of line, expecting you to abide by customs that are new to you. I apologize.
Ryan said nothing, But one of Trader's favorite and most tiresome phrases popped unbidden into his mind. Never apologize. It's a sign of weakness. And if there was one thing Fleur wasn't, it was weak.
The Patriarch has finally decided upon a plan to get inside the anthill.
Good.
Will you be part of it?
I'll tell that to Lars. Ryan made a move to step around her.
Not all of our sec force has assembled. One of the newest members, for one.
Who might that be?
You know him. Dog. He made the grade, but he's addicted to a certain vice. He'll be up to his ears in it by now, and somebody has to get him in shape for the Council. He respects you. Maybe you can see to it.
Why should I? I'm not family.
You may not realize it, but your position in Hellskell is very precarious. The Patriarch doesn't trust you. If you bring Dog in, he may alter his thinking and believe you're cooperating from your own free will. Besides, it's the duty of a warlord to look after the warriors.
Ryan stared unblinkingly into Floor's single eye for a long, silent moment. She stared back. Where can I find him? Floor hooked a thumb over her left shoulder.
Last house on the last lane. Be prepared to use your fists, Cawdor. Dog may not want to come.
Uh-huh. Ryan walked around her, down the dusky, dusty streets of Hellskell. Cooperating with Floor's flimsy story was a big risk, but he couldn't back down in front of her, nor could he resist the urge to find out what she had planned. He followed a twisting side lane, passing a number of shoddy shanties at the far end of the path. The last slapdash structure was little more than a lean-to, with crudely hewn clapboard walls and a door that hung crookedly from leather hinges. A man stumbled out into the lane. Brian stepped back in the murk, not moving, his hand resting lightly on his gun. The man passed within a few feet of him, and by the light of the rising moon and the setting sun, Ryan saw his face. It was the face of a mindless brute. Ryan had seen more intelligence in the eyes of animals. Ryan realized that the vice Fleur had spoken of was the werewolf weed. It was a rare drug, hard to find even in the hinterland of Deathlands. Composed of a mutated form of marijuana and various hallucinogens like peyote, the werewolf weed stimulated the hindbrain, causing an atavistic regression. Its sole attraction for the user was to wallow in artificial bestiality for a time. Ryan had heard that some bands of marauders appreciated its influence before a raid, since it made them fearless and predatory. Unfortunately, they would just as soon turn on their own comrades as an enemy while in its brutal grip. Ryan cat-footed up to the shanty and peered into the open door. The yellow glow of a kerosene lamp was dimmed by a wall of hot, acrid smoke. On the floor lay a number of naked men and women, engaged in various sex acts. Their faces were slack. They clawed and bit and slapped at each other. A man was bleeding profusely from a bite at the base of his neck. There was no sign of Dog. Disgusted, Ryan turned away and headed back up the path. A sudden movement from the shadows to his right drew his attention. He fisted his gun and whirled. A stooping, naked figure crept out of the pool of darkness. For a moment, Ryan didn't recognize the slack-jawed, blank-eyed, gape-mouthed face staring into his own. Then, with a sense of revulsion, he recognized the naked man as Dog. The X-slash on his forehead had scabbed over, and his ears protruded from his shaven skull. Ryan stepped back. Dog shambled forward, a grin splitting his foam-flecked lips.
Stay back. I'll chew you where you stand.
Dog didn't seem to hear or care. In his regression, he probably didn't even recognize the purpose of the 6-hour aimed at him. Ryan backpedaled carefully, his finger on the trigger, even though he knew full well the repercussions of killing Dog. It was a very neat trap Fleur had set. If he, an outsider, killed Dog, she would demand bloody retribution from the family. It would be a legal execution, since Hellstrom hadn't yet officially named him a scion of the family. And if he didn't kill Dog, the man was sure to murder him. Either way, Ryan would be removed from the equation, and Fleur would be restored to her former status as the sole warlord. Ryan considered shooting to wound, but he knew that, powered by the drug, even a 9mm slug in an arm or leg would be only an insect sting to Dog. There was really only one option. Ryan pivoted suddenly and took to his heels, running full out toward Hellskell. If he could reach the saloon so that Hellstrom could see Dog pursuing him, there would be no